It's time for Push to Play, your weekly trophy podcast with Mindy and CJ.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for episode 35 of Push to Plat. What a big week we have coming at you this week, listeners. We have our regular episode today with a fantastic guest we're about to introduce. And then we've also got a Halloween special deep dive. I suppose you can call it a deep dive that we're going to push out to you this week as well. And I'm looking forward to your thoughts on that one, I think. And I hopefully you're looking forward to our thoughts. But let's stay in the present for the moment. Mindy, episode 35.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually good. I went to my local import food store the other day, and I should not be allowed to go there unsupervised because I spend a lot more money than I mean to.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that my kind of sideboard today is very international.
Oh, so full of caviar, lobster tail, snails. What?
Oh God, no! I don't have that kind of money. No, I've got a glass of Shiraz from Australia.
Oh.
Ostensibly, it could very well be as Australian as Foster's, and I wouldn't know.
It's not the wonderful Yellowtail, is it? Our special exported Yellowtail.
It is not Yellowtail. It's called Whoop Whoop.
Oh, I don't know this.
Which is apparently from Southern Australia, and it's nice and yummy. And then I have some chocolate, some hazelnut and campsite coffee chocolate from Finland, because why not?
Why not? Why not? Why not? How's the status of Finland these days? Is it still in their own hands or have you taken that as well?
Well, that would be Greenland.
Yes.
Oh. Not Finland. Finland, don't give
American
them ideas.
An American that knows geography. Look, listeners, we're off to a fine start.
Don't give them any ideas. It was never about Finland.
Okay. Now, look, we should not go any further because it would be rude without introducing our guest today, podcasting superstar, PlayStation master, martial artist, nerd friend, he even calls himself. That's lovely, isn't it? We're very lucky to have the wonderful Bushido, 774578577476372717176. Sir, how are you today?
Point three. You forgot the point three. Yeah.
Oh, there
are
so many numbers there.
yeah, I know. do you want, like, I can give you the origin of why there's so many numbers if you wish.
Actually, yes. This is something I brought up in the last podcast that from now on, if people are coolsies with giving their actual, like, PSN name, I want the story as to why they picked that name.
Sure. All right. So I'm going to... Let's see here. Let's 2009, I believe. Sitting on my couch, PlayStation 3, got it going, and I have my laptop in front of me, and I'm making my PS account. And I'm like, all right, what sounds a really badass that will strike fear into people's hearts when I, you know, beat them at Ratchet and Clank, which totally has online play. So I was like, Bushido. Bushido sounds awesome, so I'm going to do Bushido. And then I was like, I'm going to do Bushido, like, 5. And it's like, no, that's been taken. I was like, okay. I'm going to do Bushido 77. He says, no, that's been taken too. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do Bushido 1991 because that's my birth year. And it's like, no, that's been taken. So I literally just took my fist and I punched the number pad on my keyboard and kind of rolled it a little bit. And then that's the numbers I got.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is that the maximum amount of numbers? Like, is that the maximum amount of characters you can have? Is that why 5 was the last one? It just stopped there?
I don't know. It was a swift punch, so I didn't, you know, I didn't stay there, so that's probably why.
To be honest, that's better than what I was thinking. I thought maybe you were drunk and you sort of passed out for a second, and that's what you ended
up with. Oh God, no. It's way more boring than that. No.
Well, now that you can change screen names, do you think you want to change it?
Man, you know, I've I've thought about it, but like I like the dumb origin story, the dumb comic book origin story of my PSN name so much. Who else can say I punched a keyboard and I got my name, you know? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's that guy? Who's that guy who he said he beat one of the bosses in Final Fantasy 12 by just smacking the controller against his ass?
Nice. That whoever that is, they are a hero to me.
Tune in next week, listeners, for the ass smacker.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I wish I could have some kind of gaming skill like that. Holy crap. I'm jealous.
Well, I think the joke was that it was just a very highly scripted kind of.
Right, right.
But that's pretty great. Like, it's a pretty great visual.
I want to get good at fighting games now with my ass. I want to get really good at Street Fighter, just smacking the controller against my ass. Goodness. That's my new goal in life.
Honestly, if I did that, it would probably make me better at Street Fighter. I'm terrible at it.
I think that would be the case for many people, actually. Now, Bushido, you also go by the name Plat Zack, I believe,
I do.
Get the platinum.
I do.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's my terrible new intro. Yeah, so I'm friends with Gerard the Completionist over on YouTube. And Alex Fasciane and some other people over there. And so Gerard's big thing, you know, he completes the games. He'll do, you know, anything, old school, new school, whatever. But anyway, so a while back, he was like, you know, telling me, he was like, yeah, you got a really fun personality, man. You might give YouTube and all that a shot. And I was like, okay, sure. So, you know, my shtick is getting platinums, and I made the name Platinum Zack. And unfortunately, YouTube is just not a great platform for new content creators. I was putting in anywhere from like 10 to 30 to 45 hours for a video. And even though I was pretty proud of what I was churning out, it was just not getting anywhere. So I gave podcasting a shot because I was like, you know, I like podcasts. Well, might as well. I've got most of the equipment here. And I got my buddy Dylan, and I was like, hey, man, you want to talk about trophy hunting? Because he had literally just gotten into trophy hunting. And he was like, sure. So we got together and sat down, and we did a practice episode that will never, ever air. And then we just made Platcast. And I just took the name Platinum Zack for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been running for a little over a year now, is that correct?
Yeah, it's like a year in about 3 months, about 4 months, somewhere in that ballpark.
Okay, so look, I've got to ask you, what do you enjoy about podcasting?
Man, like, it's just, I think it's a really great medium because it allows you to just hear and sometimes participate in conversations with people, right? You know, YouTube comment sections are notoriously awful for not having any kind of discourse or anything like that. Other places like Facebook and Twitter, you can kind of carry on conversations. But podcasting is really neat because you can look at comments that people have said and you can, you know, actually make, you know, whole conversations around that. And you can also kind of be a third party, sometimes non-participating listener to a conversation between two people you like or dislike or something like that. I find the whole medium incredibly interesting. It's just a really neat, like, radio on demand thing that I think more people should get into podcasting. I think it's just awesome overall.
Third party non-participating, Mindy. It's an interesting comment, isn't it?
No, I was trying to think of this joke that I heard about. It's like, what do you call three white guys in a room together?
Go for it. I don't know.
A podcast.
And that's unfortunate too. Like, it is a lot of podcasts are kind of flooded with that mentality, I guess. That's that stereotype. And we try to be a little bit different than that. We try is the key word. But I feel like we've gotten past that point now where there's so many podcasts out there where people are like, hey, do you want to try this? And they're like, sure. And then maybe they get three episodes in, four episodes in, then they give up, you know. And I think Dylan and I have gotten to that point now where we've made it a congruent part of our life now. You know, every weekend we record the podcast. That's our time to catch up and hang out. And then we just shoot the shit about PlayStation and anything else we want to talk about.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you. I'm not knocking on it.
No. I know. Yeah.
I have several podcasts I listen to. And because I have such this varied library of things I listen to, I get these really interesting podcast suggestions, and I'm like, please don't say something interesting because then I'll add it, and I don't have time for this. And I got a really fun recommendation, and it's, you're going to hear the subject matter and you're going to make a lot of assumptions about what I listen to, and your assumptions are wrong. But the the podcast is called something like My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Nice.
And it's this guy who found out that his dad wrote like an erotica book. And so instead of just being like, I'm never going to tell anyone, he's like, you know what? Why don't I just make a podcast and read it? And so it's like him and like two of his friends. And I don't know if the whole spiel is that it's not very well written. It was like this self-published thing or something, but it's just kind of them reading it and then just kind of making fun of it. And then just general, again, just kind of catching up and shooting the breeze like you were talking about. I think it's fascinating because, yeah, you can do anything with it.
Yeah, you really can. Yeah, and it takes less, well, I wouldn't say less, but it takes an entry level. Yeah, well, it takes like less skills, like less technical know-how. Less skill. Yeah. For me, it's less skill. I'm just an Audacity wizard is all I am. But it's easy like to jump on in. You know, it's easy to get the equipment that you need to make your sound, you know, pretty good. And I find the whole medium just incredibly, incredibly interesting. I've, you know, listened to stuff that I never in a million years thought I would be listening to. I'm listening to stuff about like the show Cops, or I'm listening to stuff about like I listen to the Stuff You Should Know podcast. And there's just a bunch of varied topics I listen to because I drive a lot, you know, and I sit around at home a lot reading and things like that. And podcasts are like the perfect thing for me to digest.
CJ, did you know that someone did a podcast on our little podcast?
Sorry?
Someone did a podcast about our podcast. It's some guy, I can't remember the name.
Jeez, he was struggling that week.
But it's some guy who pulls up just a random podcast and listens to it and critiques like what they can do better.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
And we were one of his episodes. It was like a 7-minute episode.
Huh.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out. Hopefully it was generally positive.
It was an early one. It was
Oh, this is back in the olden days.
Mm-mm. Yeah, but it wasn't super early because you had added my name. This was back when I was a third host.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know if this guy needs more glasses or like he was talking about how your spelling was bad. He was like, he said my name was Feminicity. I was like,
oh,
really, dude? Like, really?
Oh, I didn't know. Well, look, I will definitely check that out. Now, Zach, I'm going to ask you then. So we've heard of so many good things about podcasting. What is something you dislike about running a weekly podcast, a weekly gaming podcast?
Oh, man.
Don't say editing.
Sometimes. Oh, well, oh, okay. Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm sorry. I mean, like it's just sometimes like life happens, and sometimes I have less time to edit, and I have less time to like post and do things like that, you know. So sometimes it does like eat into my sleep because I'm like I got to crank this out like by tonight, or I got to crank this out, you know, by tomorrow morning or something like that. So editing, when you have an actual job and podcasting's not your job, you know, it's hard to make everything work together some weeks. And other weeks I'm like, oh, I've got this done 3 days in advance. You know, so it that's probably the only thing I dislike about it.
See, the thing is that CJ does all the editing on this podcast. So
he's a
it's a wonderful feeling when you submit it, isn't it? And it's finally done each week.
It is the greatest feeling. Yes, it is the greatest feeling. I'm like, man, I have done so much today. Oh, damn. It's only 11 o'clock. It's only 11 in the morning and I still have the rest of my day. I have to give a shout out to my buddy Dylan. He is such a trooper. He does the raw edits now. Originally, I was doing all the editing. And I'm a madman. I am actually working on a project where we're going to be having a couple more shows coming up soon. The artwork is being finalized, and then I'm going to be jumping up with that. But anyway, so Dylan gets the raw audio, fixes it, and then he sends it over to me. I listen to it one more time, and I add what we call the beeps and boops. I add like the intro music, outro music, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, let's be careful here. We don't want to give Mindy any ideas. Mindy, they run a fancy show over there. They have like bits in the middle where they make sounds and they divide their sections and topics up. It's a very well-oiled machine. We don't want to be going down that route, you know. That is professionalism. We're over the other side, you know. we're well and truly over the other side.
I mean, I will say this in all honesty. It would not be an increase in work for me were that to happen with this podcast.
That's fair. But no, I mean, I think that's the thing, though, is like you can have a podcast where it's just you and your bud talking, you know, as long as you are actually passionate about what you're talking about and you do a decent amount of sound editing to edit out all the awkward pauses and, you know, the ums and things like that that happen in natural conversation. I think anyone can make a podcast that sounds good. You know, it just takes a little bit of practice. It takes a little bit of being very harsh on yourself. How can I make this better? you know, but yeah, anyone can make a good
podcast. That's unfortunate for you that you have arms and unnatural silences in your podcast. Keep working. I'm sure you'll get rid of that in time. So look, now that we've touched on all that
stuff. It's because we're Southern, man. Because like sometimes we'll just sit there and we'll be like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, okay, I guess we'll go on. So that's a Southern thing.
Well, look, you know, I haven't done this for a while, so I feel like I feel comfortable doing it now, and it will make you feel uncomfortable, so that's even better. But I do really like your accent. Some of our guests I look forward to speaking to just to hear them say certain words. So I'm not going to say which words, but I'm sure you'll drop them in the natural course of this conversation anyway, and I will be looking forward to that. I may make a small simpering sound or a moan, but, you know, carry on, please, if that does.
Okay.
That does happen. So
that
look,
is literally
now,
the first time that's ever been said to me. Most of the time, it's like, man, your accent's stupid.
I'm enjoying it. So look, why don't we found out about you today and what you're doing. What about your gaming history? Like, where did it all start?
Sure.
Where did you know, come up? What, tell us about it.
Sure. So back in the days of yore, I was a big NES player with Duck Hunt and Super Mario. That's kind of where I started. And then moving forward, my grandmother ran a furniture store growing up. And so I would go there after school and, you know, I'd be sitting in this tiny pink lazy boy that she had for me, and I would be doing my homework while she rented furniture out to people. And she would eventually start getting in like electronics and televisions and stuff like that. So one day she had a Super Nintendo and brought it in, and no one was renting it, no one was buying it. So she eventually was like, "Here, Zach, you can have this." And so it was a Super Nintendo with Super Mario RPG and Donkey Kong Country. And I want to say there was something else, but I can't remember off the top of my head. So that's where I kind of started.
Your grandma's awesome.
Yeah, my grandma is awesome. My grandma's, she's the best. Like, she literally cannot sit still. She was the mayor of my hometown for like 10 years or something like that. She was a gun salesperson at Sears, a taxidermist. She ran a restaurant, a liquor store. Now she protests, you know, for her hobby. She protests for Women Matter and all that good stuff. So she's just great. Like, she never stopped. But anyway, so she got me that Super Nintendo, got started with that. But what was interesting, though, about the PlayStation, so moving into like N64 PlayStation era, again, she was renting out these machines, and you know, people would occasionally rent the machines and then bring them back. So the N64, that was the one that I loved playing after school. I would play Super Mario World, or Super Mario 64, my bad. And then eventually someone actually bought the N64. And so I came back to the store one day after school, and she was like, "Hey, honey, it's not here anymore. Someone actually bought it. They took it home." And I like bawled. I was like, "No, what am I going to do after school and after homework?"
She needed me to sit you down and say that, it, you know, it was going to a nice farm upstate.
Oh, God, I kind of wish she had now.
Where it can run around with all its other N64 friends and be happy.
It can run around with all the other like crazy color N64s, the purple ones and the orange ones, and you know, that weird Pikachu one. So the other system that was available was the first PlayStation, and I was a little intimidated by it, and I also didn't really know anything about PlayStation. Luckily, she had bought Spyro and Crash Bandicoot 2. And so I started playing Spyro and Crash Bandicoot 2, and I was immediately hooked. I was hooked from then on with PlayStation. So PlayStation 1 memories involve like Crash Bandicoot 2 and Spyro, like I said. We've got, what else? Some Final Fantasy stuff, Final Fantasy 9. Demo discs. I played the absolute living shit out of demo discs. You know, I'm surprised they didn't break. Let's see here. I had the shit scared out of me as a child when I put Resident Evil in, and then immediately like punched my PlayStation, took the disc and chucked it across the room when I saw the first zombie. I was like, no, that thing's cursed. Moving into PS2 into high school, you know, that's when I started loving like Samurai Warriors and Soul Calibur 3 and, you know, all that good stuff. PlayStation 3, I was a little bit behind on because I bought the Xbox 360 in college because it was cheaper. But then I ended up getting the PS3, and that's when I started playing Uncharted and The Last of Us and everything like that. And now, you know, moving into the PS4, I think the PS4 is my favorite system of all time. I like the way it looks. I like the way it works. I love the game library. It's easy to work with. It's got a ton of support for all the various media and everything. So that's it in a nutshell, essentially. I just Spyro and, you know, survival was the reason that I became a PlayStation fan. If I wanted to play video games, I had to play a PlayStation. Otherwise, I had to just sit in a furniture store all day.
That's some pretty solid games there along the way. I want to ask you a question. Just listening to your podcast the other week, I think it was, and we're just jumping forward now to the PS5 a little bit here, because you know, listeners, I'm fascinated by the PS5. I just want to talk about it all day, speculate and all this garbage. But I had a question for you, because now I'm not sure the exact number. I think it might have been Dylan, but your number is, you can tell me. But you had this idea of a hard cutoff of how much you'd spend, and I know it was 600. I think that might have been Dylan's number. I'm not sure. Was yours a bit less? Or
that was Dylan's. Yeah, mine was definitely less. Dylan makes a significant amount more than I do, but not by much. But you know, Dylan's, you know, he's a good news. He's a good news boy. But I would probably spend right now probably like 450, maybe 500. But if it was 450, I could be comfortable. 500 would be stretching it.
This is what, you know, so I was thinking about this week because, you know, listeners, I have a small brain and I get distracted easily. So I was thinking, okay, so 500 is your cutoff. What happens if it comes out at 520? Would you stretch or would you stay firm?
Oh, yeah. I'm flexible. If I can do a split kick, I can do 520.
See, this is what I really thought when I was listening to that. I'm like, let's be honest here. If it's 520, if it's 580, if it's 650, I think it's a very, very movable scale along, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
for all of us, I wonder where we would really draw the line.
I could probably sell like a kidney.
Well, it never would, though. You know, there's a psychology behind pricing things, right? Like there really is.
Hit me with that. Teach me, Sensei.
Like, well, for example, you might think, why are so many things priced at $4.99, and generally we wouldn't say, oh, it costs $4.99. We'd say it costs $5, even though the price tag is $4.99. And the psychology behind it is, for whatever, there's studies, I can't quote them because I'm not that well versed in it, but studies have shown that you are more likely to pick up and purchase something that says $4.99 than $5, even though you will literally say, oh, this costs $5, I'll buy it. Just purely looking at the sticker price, you are much more likely to pick it up at $4.99 or whatever 99 than if you were to round up that extra penny.
Well, there you go, Sony, take note.
There's something in your brain that kind of clicks, and it focuses way too much on the fact that it's, you know, the dollar amount has gone up as opposed to you've just tacked on a penny.
The problem though is PS5, you know, comes out whatever, it's 500, it's 600, it's 1,000, who knows what it's going to be, who cares? It will be what it's going to be. But then you've also got to buy something to play on it, don't you? So it's this inflated cost anyway. So unless you're just going to buy the machine, which is very exciting, I know.
Yeah.
To stare at the crossbar. You know, there's also another, well, I don't know, what are the games, $60 in America potentially there as well, isn't there? So look at it, you know, it all adds up to this wonderful, wonderful final number, I suppose. Yeah. But anyway.
One thing that I think will kind of like help, though, even if, let's say the PS5 is like $600 or $650, right? It's pretty pricey. One thing I think that will help, though, is definitely the backwards compatibility that they've been marketing.
Yes.
Because even if you just buy the machine, right, you can at least go ahead and keep playing your PS4 games on the machine. That way you don't have to drop like $700 or $750 so you can get the machine and a game or a machine game controller, whatever, right? I think that is definitely going to help Sony moving forward with this next system, is that backwards compatibility.
Mindy, have you seen a picture of the dev kit yet for the PS5?
I feel like I've seen the box. I don't think I've seen like the whole shebang. Like, I feel like I've seen just the actual unit.
Yes.
And it's much more blocky. Like, it doesn't have a lot of angles, right?
Well, it's in the shape of a V, a 5, a Roman numeral 5. What the hell did I see?
Did I see the new Xbox?
I'm not sure. But it's fantastic because you can put your Vita in the center of it. It's these nice little wings. And the Vita will sit in the middle.
Why
of it.
Why do you torture me?
No, it really does look like that. You know, a little home for your Vita in the center there. So, look, that's fantastic. But, you know,
why are you so mean?
But, you know, funny thing, jokes aside, the other thing I was thinking about, I know this is a PlayStation podcast, but the higher the price goes up for the PlayStation in speculation, the better that is for Microsoft, because there's no way the next Xbox, the Scarlett or whatever we're up to now, is going to come out cheap. So it's probably great for them, the smaller price differential. So, you know, by all means, Sony, just keep whacking the price up, probably right up there, you know, so that the Xbox looks like the cheap option. Why not? Because we all know, listeners, come launch day, what are you going to play on the PlayStation? What's left? Well, you'll be playing, what will you be playing, Mindy? Do you know?
I knew.
Do you know what was delayed this week? The Last of Us 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
push it back. No, I think it's coming out a little before, but maybe push it back a little further. But look, you know, that's enough speculation because none of us know. Anyway, why don't we move into what we've been playing this week? And Zach, why don't we start with you? Well, you know, liberally sure, this week, sure, of course. Sure. Why don't you throw some games at us? Throw some love. What have you been doing?
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see here. I've been playing Borderlands 3. Wonderful, wonderful gameplay. Definitely, I don't recommend it as a jumping off point or entry point anyone new to the series. But if you are already a fan of Borderlands, you'll probably love it. Trophy list is pretty accessible, kind of grindy. I'm not enjoying this post-game grind as much as I thought I would. But it doesn't detract from the fact that I enjoy the game. So yeah, there's Borderlands 3. Got back into, let's see here.
Now, just before we move on, that was very, very succinct. But you've played more of it than I have, so I can ask you this. I've read that the first couple of hours are not great, but then it gets better. Is that correct?
Man, or? I don't know if I'd say that. I would almost argue that first act is pretty passable. Second act like starts ramping things up, and then the third act is literally like the first drop in a roller coaster. You get to this really high peak, and you're like, oh man, what's gonna happen? And then for me personally, narratively, it kind of let me down. So I don't know. I would say that the beginning is probably stronger than the end, but that's just my opinion. I'm not like a English major or storytelling major or anything like that. So
yeah, no, perfect.
But yeah, so Borderlands 3, I jumped back a little bit into the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney trilogy. I like playing those games just for nostalgia and for the animation and things like that. I used to play that on my DS, and my grandpa is a lawyer, and it was so much fun to like come up to him with my DS and be like, hey, Didi, what would you do in this situation? He was like, oh, well, I would do this and this and this. And I'm like, right, I have this option and that option. And he was like, oh, well, that's stupid.
You don't have the option of use psychic powers to solve case? No? No?
You know, I don't think my grandpa has that. He's got a revolver in his desk drawer, and that's about all he's got as far as powers go for being an attorney. I've been playing that a little bit. I platinumed Batman Arkham City, man, and that's a game that I love near and dear, but I could not recommend platinuming ever. The metal challenges took the joy out of it immediately. I'm sick of Batman. Yes, and Batman's my favorite DC character. I'm definitely more of a Marvel guy growing up and everything, but I've always had a soft spot for Batman, especially because of the animated series and Kevin Conroy, who's a very sweet man when I met him. But you know, it's just those metal challenges, it takes the fun out of things. So I definitely couldn't recommend that. And then I kind of rounded it up with Trover Saves the Universe. I platinumed that. That one was another one for me. Again, really strong, like solid first and second act in you know, the way that the story goes, and very funny writing. It's very dry. It's incredibly dry, even for like Rick and Morty fans. But then you get to that third act and I'm like, this is dumb. Like, I hate this. So
what kind of game is it?
It's a I don't know what you would call it, really. It's like, okay, can I describe it? And then maybe we can pick a type of game.
Sure.
You're a chair alien. You're a race of alien that sits in a chair all day. Hold on, my wife just told me the species. What is it, sweetie? Cheropian. Okay. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Zach's wife.
Right. They said, thank you, Zach's wife. But anyway, so
that almost sounds like thank you ex-wife, doesn't it? But anyway, carry on.
Oh, no. But yeah, so you're a Cheropian, and you've got this dude named Trover, who's the purple guy with the power babies in his eye sockets, right? And he hops in and he's like, hey, we gotta, you fucked up, you let your dog get taken by this guy, and he's all powerful and shit. So the gameplay itself, you are in a chair and you control Trover from like a aerial point of view. And you do platforming, and you do a little bit of puzzle solving, and you do a little bit of trinket hunting and things like that. But it's pretty static as a game, because you have to make Trover go to a warp point, press R2, and then you, the chair guy, teleport to that point, and then you know go up to your aerial view and watch Trover do stuff. And that's basically the whole game. So maybe a platformer, maybe. I'm not too sure off the top of my head, to be honest. It's
kind of sounds more like a puzzle adventure game.
Sure, yeah.
But light on the puzzles.
Yeah, I could definitely see that as well. So yeah, what I don't know how to. I mean, if I go to PSN profiles here, I'm kind of curious like what they categorize it as. It's a.
I actually have it pulled up. They said adventure and indie.
An indie adventure. So yeah.
And the themes were action and comedy.
Well, there is comedy. There's not a lot of action. but yeah, so but I got the.
I do like the names of trophies in this game. Like, oh, I might have to do this just.
Oh, they okay.
Names.
So like, yeah, that's one thing I will say. I didn't enjoy the game that much, right? The trophies were a little bit annoying, but the trophy descriptions are so funny in this, and they make fun of you for liking trophies. It's great. They call you a little popsicle stick, and they're just like, "I bet you're so proud of yourself, you little popsicle stick." It's funny.
There's one here that the description is. Listen to the entirety of Pop-Up's introduction and ignore the homeless man being murdered outside your door.
Yep.
And the trophy title is, Jesus, are you still listening to this?
Yeah. Oh, man. My favorite is it was actually the trophy of the week, which is a segment I do on my show last week. It's called You Actually Did It, and you take paper balls and you toss them into a little basketball hoop. And the description is, what the hell is the matter with you? You actually made 100 baskets? What are you, a sociopath? How long did this take you?
Well, seeing you brought that trophy up, I want to ask you about that, because you've done a good job of convincing us that you're a fairly stable, you know, valued member of society. Your completion rate is a little high at 64%, but I'll forgive that at this point. Why?
Oh, thank you.
What sort of a life decision is that, do you think, to make, to shoot the 100 baskets? You know,
what sort of life decision? Yes, terrible. Don't follow my steps.
Because it's not as simple as just throwing the ball into the basket, is it? The ball doesn't want to go in the basket.
No, you have to, like, you have a little reticle as the Cherlorpian, chair whatever, and you have to, like, hit the edge of the paper ball.
Call your wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is it again, sweetheart? Was the chair people?
I was kidding.
She's on her phone, so never mind. But what's the chair people called? Chair opium. I know, sweetheart. I love you. I love you.
Wonder if the guy in the chair smokes opium as well. Chair opium.
Yeah, maybe. Cheropian. Okay, but anyway, so you have a little reticle as the Cheropian, and with the paper ball bit, you have to, like, hit the edge of the paper ball just right to make it go in a certain direction. And so, you know, on paper, the trophy sounds really easy and dumb and boring, but, like, even in VR, it doesn't help. You basically have to just sit there and hope and pray to the paper ball gods that it goes through the hoop. And so this took me probably, like, 4 to 5 hours of just, like, sitting there and just jumping the stupid thing through the hoop. So it was a terrible choice. Don't do it. I'm a bad example. Live your life. Create things. Eat your vegetables. Brush your teeth. Be in bed by 10.
Is this a VR-only game?
No. So you can totally play it without VR.
Yeah, well, it's not the only mistake you made. I see you have Knack and Fallout 76 are your platinum, so going for the trip.
What? I don't know. What?
I was actually going to bring that up, because you were the first guest, at least that I can remember, who has not only played Fallout 76, but has platinumed Fallout 76.
We can talk about this. Now, you all might want to cut me off. I get ranty when you start talking about Appalachian video games, but we can talk about this.
Well, let me ask you something.
Sure.
What do you think about the $100 yearly subscription thing that's going on?
Okay, so, like, just fucking why?
In 20 words or less.
Oh, God. I've already used up 4 ums. Terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Why? You know, for me, it's the fact that they delayed the NPC content and then announced this. If I had any hand in this, you know, delaying the NPC content is fine. You know, I'm fine with delays as long as the product, the update or whatever is good, right? I'm okay with waiting. But, you know, to make your players wait for what essentially is going to be, like, the biggest saving grace for this game, and then immediately turn around and be like, oh, and by the way, we got this thing now. Those private servers you've been asking, that's behind a $100 paywall. That is so stupid. Their marketing, their PR, whoever's in charge of that needs to be shot out of a cannon. It's just terrible. I can't imagine they're doing this in the year of our Lord, 2019.
So my favorite thing about all this, never mind the let's call it kerfluffle that is Fallout 76. My favorite thing about this is they totally pulled a Netflix here. Do you remember when Netflix tried to launch a separate service for its streaming and they named it something and they forgot to lock down, like, the Twitter account?
Oh,
and it was like some stoner guy who already had that name. So Fallout, it's called Fallout First, right?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
So they announced this without locking down falloutfirst.com.
Oh boy.
So you go to falloutfirst.com, and what's fantastic about this is it isn't just a little website that says, hey, fuck you. It's it looks professional. Like, you actually have to read it. Like, it looks like a legit, like, they're not trying to trick you, but it looks legit. Like, they've got screenshots, right, and it's laid out like it would if it was trying to sell you something.
Oh my God, this is brilliant. This is
you actually read the text, and it's fantastic. It's people who are like, I can't believe you're doing this with all the problems in this game. And it's a fantastic read. Falloutfirst.com. Really great read.
Beautiful. I love this. I love this. The sextant. The lazy version of the Ranger armor outfit. Oh my God.
You'll receive a monthly bonus of 1,650 microtransactions to pad the bottom line. Like, it's, this is a beautiful thing. I'm so happy someone has done this.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing is, like, I'm just disappointed with the game overall because, I'm from Tennessee, and Appalachia doesn't get a lot of positive representation in media. And so when they were like, oh, we're doing West Virginia, and even when I first played the game, like, all the sights and sounds and everything, it sounds like home to me. It sounds like my backyard. It sounds like going out into town and everything like that, right? And I was just so excited for this game to do well. And the fact that it didn't now, and people associate, you know, that region with this game, this utter failure, as I might call it, it's disheartening. It's just disheartening at the end of the day.
To play devil's advocate, though, I mean, this, it almost sounds like they're trying to turn this into a, you know, like an MMO or something, you know, with a single player MMO, I suppose. And yeah, and
oh, that's absolutely what they're doing.
That's what it launched.
Yeah,
that's what
but
it launched,
I mean, you never know. Like, maybe they can rescue it, like Final Fantasy 14. Maybe next year when the NPCs come, maybe it will improve. I mean, I don't know that if it will or not. And to play devil's advocate further on that subscription side, my understanding is that the 1600 atoms or whatever the content is costs almost that anyway. So basically, what you're doing is subscribing to buy a set number of those things. So if you like collectible hats, you know, if you're a gamer that enjoys collectible hats and things like that, it's probably a great deal for you.
But yeah.
For everybody else.
Maybe they will pull a No Man's Sky and, you know, make it to where people actually like it. But for me personally, I think the fact that they've launched a subscription thing before they went and fixed a lot of stuff just kind of tells me that it's probably not going to happen.
Well, you know, the worst part is also that these features are now already broken upon launch. People who have been getting the private servers, for instance, have realized that they are not fresh new worlds when them and their friends jump in. These are servers that have actually been previously used, so they go in and they can see that people have already scavenged and gotten junk in certain locations.
You get a secondhand world.
You do, you do. And then on top of that, you know, some people who are in your friends list can see that you're playing on a private server and they can jump in to your private server as of right now. And, you know, maybe not everyone on your friends list is your actual friend. They might be just like your you know, buddy that you teamed up with one time and you forgot to take them off your friends list or whatever. But as of right now, as of recording this, they have the ability to jump in on your private server.
Oh, wow.
The junk box is eating your junk, according to some players.
That's yeah, the one I yeah. heard, was that the storage boxes were stealing your stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's just it's a terrible, terrible train wreck, and it makes me really upset because I used to love Bethesda. I used to like blindly worship them as a game company, even with flaws and everything, right? And now I'm just kind of like, God, y'all are messing this up really bad.
It's kind of funny how that works, isn't it? I kind of had that feeling about Telltale.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like, I really loved them at the beginning, and then I started writing like reviews and stuff for their games, and then at some point I was just like, y'all are just doing the same thing over and over again.
That's Dylan and I in a nutshell. That is Dylan and yeah. I in a nutshell. We loved Telltale up until the very end, and then we were just kind of like, God, y'all just really screwed the pooch on this.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know. It was one of the Walking Deads. I think it was late in season two of the Walking Dead where I was like, wait a minute, you know, because it just became kind of cookie cutter as opposed to they weren't actually trying anything new.
Yep.
So.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned No Man's Sky, though, because I also have the platinum for that.
Do you really?
I got it and I left, and I named the universe that I was in. I named it Platted the Game. Bye.
So no DLC trophies for you?
No, I'm quite good. Thank you. I've cataloged enough flora and fauna in space for one lifetime.
Ooh, I see you have a trophy in Castlevania Requiem. What do you feel about Metroidvanias? Yes!
I like them, but I suck at them. So that's why I haven't really done much with it. I enjoy them, but I'm terrible at them. So I will eventually jump back into Castlevania, but I bought it and then I played it for a little bit. And then, you know, because I have ADD with my games, I immediately jumped into something else.
And then how about the, I'm going back in your trophy log here. How about the Mega Man X Legacy Collection?
So yeah, that's another one, right? There was like one little dumb trophy in Mega Man X 2, I believe, that I was having difficulty getting. And I had never actually played X3 and X4 as a kid. I played a lot of X and X2 with my good friend Hunter Van Brocklin. God, we played that game like every weekend and jammed out to the music. But it's just, that being said, though, I think it's very, really important to put trophies on older games like that. I think that's what keeps older games alive, is putting challenges on games like Castlevania and Mega Man X. But, you know, for me personally, mm-hmm. Where I constantly have to keep playing new stuff to sound quasi-relevant on the podcast, some stuff gets thrown off to the wayside. So,
but, you know, look, I'm going to say it here. You know, this is not judgmental in any way, but this is not a bad trophy card. You do not seem to be affected by the spam games much here. I'm looking down. I mean, yes, you've got your Siberian there in 40 minutes. Why did it take that long? Is this an access denied, unfinished? Oh, no, finished. Sorry, 56 minutes. Yeah. So you got a couple, but not many. I mean, you're unaffected. It's lovely to see.
I just, you know, I did play a lot of those games for a while, and then I think it just kind of hit me. I was like, I'm not going to spend time, my precious gaming time, playing games that I know or I'm not going to like, you know, or that I know is something that I won't get anything out of. So I just kind of quit. And I don't look down on people that play those games. Like, if you want to get a platinum for the day or something like that, do that. Like, if that makes you happy, do that. You know, if that's fine. But for me personally, you know, if I only have 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to spend that 2 or 3 hours playing a game I actually want to play.
Yeah, look, and as we say over and over again, you play what you want, you play how you like. If you want to play your 5-minute plat, you go for it. If you want to spend 3 or 4 hours throwing a piece of rubbish into a basketball hoop, by all means do. It's just a question of values, you know. So.
Questionable, very questionable values.
yeah, that's good.
Did you like Wailing Heights?
I loved the musical bits in Wailing Heights, the little transition music, like when you possess different people. I liked the music. I did not like the game itself. I couldn't get into it.
Did you use a walkthrough?
For parts, yes, I did.
Was it my walkthrough?
Oh, did you do a walkthrough? Oh, whoops. I don't know. I might have. I don't know. Is it a video or a text one?
Objection, yes. Leading the witness.
Did you use a video walkthrough?
I believe so. I think so, yeah.
Then you probably used mine.
Oh, cool.
Most of the video... Well, now, most of the video walkthroughs are off of my guide.
Nice, nice.
Which is varying levels of cool, depending on if they acknowledge that they've done it.
Okay, gotcha.
Same with Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really, really neat.
I think that was my first, maybe it was my second first achiever. I was very proud of that.
Huh.
Mostly because I got the game like 2 days early.
You've done very well, because it's a bit like we're sort of like vultures picking through a trophy list, aren't we? We leave no stone unturned. But you've survived. Congratulations there, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, please don't look at my ultra rares, because they make me sad. Looking at that Dragon Ball FighterZ trophy.
Okay, well now I'm gonna. All right, let's see.
Oh boy.
Pixel Jump, Nom Nom Galaxy, Dragon Ball FighterZ. All of my ultra rares are from Friday the 13th online, which is not hard if you're boosting it. It just takes an ungodly amount of time.
Yeah.
So I think mine is more, because at least yours has, you know, requires some skill. Mine is just, it required a lot of free time, which I think is sad.
Not so much skill as in like wasting time. Dragon Ball FighterZ, the road to getting that platinum was my podcast time. It just became like I would do the same fight over and over and over again for 3 hours a night listening to podcasts.
Excellent. Okay, Mindy, let's shuffle across to you. What have you been doing this week? What's been happening? What have you been playing?
I got the DLC trophy in Where the Bees Make Honey.
Did you enjoy that? Did you like the bit they tacked on at the beginning as well, walking around the office?
Honestly, I didn't mind it, because it's more of a tutorial than the game ever gave you, as I recall. So that's fine. It's unnecessary, you know. As much as I say it's a tutorial, it's also kind of unnecessary. story-wise, there's no reason for this. But, I like the fact that because this DLC trophy has been added, if you look at the game on PSN trophy leaders now, it's now registering as a hard game because the majority of people have not gone back and 100%ed this game because of the one DLC trophy, which I think is fantastic.
Did you play on into the rabbit section just to see how it felt, or did you?
Oh God, no! I unlocked that trophy and I bailed.
Oh yes, what a nightmare that was.
I didn't have to, so I didn't do it. Let's see, where did we leave off last time? I think, did I tell you I played Mechabolt last time we recorded?
No, I think that's where we left off. Yeah, the Mechabolt. Oh. So, yeah.
Well, I did. It's all right. It's not the worst thing I've played.
No, it's fine.
It's also not a Mega Man game, despite my mistake a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, Mechabolt is not Metagal. So, yeah. Played that. We'll probably stack it for an event at some point. It's pretty easy. The main thing I focused on was A Rose in the Twilight.
Yes, I know nothing about this. Oh, Nipponichi. Interesting.
It is. It's Nipponichi, so it's the same people who did CJ.
Liar Princess and the wonderful Destiny Connect that released in English last week.
Oh, they did do Destiny Connect, didn't they? Yeah, yeah. Nipponichi is really good at least on the Vita, they're really good at making these kind of fantasy, like dark fantasy worlds that are, they seem like they're kid-friendly and approachable. But there's some really horrific things going on in it. They did it in Yomiwari, which is another Vita game. I assume they did the same thing in the Yomiwari sequel, which is also on PS4, but I haven't played it yet. But I can't imagine that it would be significantly different than the original. I also have not played Hotaru no Niki, which is that game with the weird title, the H-T-O-L.
Oh God, what is this? What is this? Hotaru Nik? What?
So it's called Hotaru no Niki.
Okay.
Like which is like Firefly
Diary
Light or something that.
Oh, okay.
Diary, what? Something like that.
Niki in Japanese is diary. That was just my guess though.
So then it's Firefly Diary. I couldn't remember. But it's like the title is stylized and it's like H-T-O-L pound sign. I wish I looked it up before I started talking about this.
N-I-Q.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why it's like that, but whatever. I haven't played that because it's very, very reliant on the touchpad, and I'm not a fan of that on the Vita. I love my Vita, but forcing touchpad mechanics into a game never, ever works out well. But Rose in the Twilight specifically did away with that. I don't think you can even use the touchpad. I think you have to use just the buttons. But it's a game about a girl and a golem and they're making their way through this castle, and it's all just kind of black and white and lovely. And this girl dies a lot, and she has to, because a lot of things are locked and you have to, a lot of areas are locked and you have to, the girl has to sacrifice herself.
Oof.
To open these like blood locks. So you'll get to this kind of locked area and there'll be a sign that says like, make a sacrifice. And so you walk up to the sign and there's like an Iron Maiden and she's got to go in and get slammed in, or there's like a guillotine and she has and that's just part of the game. So it's this weird kind of story of, but then this girl resurrects from flower buds. So again, we're going back to that kind of fantasy, you know, you're thinking about the fantasy of it. She comes out of a very pretty flower bud, but she's dying in these very grisly ways, you know? I actually recommend this one. It has a time run trophy that I hate time run trophies. I really hate them in the next game I'm going to talk about. It's not so bad here because it's a cumulative time thing. So you can always go back and reload stages and go for better times. And the time limit is pretty fair. You need to do the whole game in an hour 20. I think mine ended up being like an hour 5. And it was not flawless. So pretty good. What made me really angry though was I did the whole time before I went to take on the final boss, because there are two boss fights in this game. Generally, it's just a puzzle game. You have to figure out how to make your way through these rooms. But there are two boss fights. And I went to the, I did the time attacks for all these other stages, and I said, great, I have 9 minutes to beat the final boss. I can do this, right? And I went in, and I was 12 or 14 seconds over the time attack.
Ooh.
Which meant I had to fight the boss again to get the time attack trophy. I was so upset. I was so upset. But very recommended. It's only on the Vita, unfortunately. But if you have a Vita, check this one out. It has several stacks. You don't really need to know the language to play this one. It's fairly self-explanatory. I mean, you'll just miss some story, but it is fairly self-explanatory. Like, if you can get through Liar Princess in another language, you'll be pretty good with this one. So, definitely recommended. There's a nice guide up on PlayStation Trophies. And really, that's all I played last week. Just Rose in the Twilight and Where the Beast My Crony.
You're starting to find some real gems on the Vita. That's fantastic. A lot of these games I've never heard of, so thank you for bringing them to light.
Yet the Vita is a good system, and I'm so mad at Sony.
I'm not disagreeing. For abandoning it. A lot of these games, like, I've played a lot of Vita, but I haven't heard of these ones, so it's great. Yeah, that's fantastic. I will look into that. I wonder, I don't know if you remember, is that like a full price Vita game, or is that not too bad?
I think it's like $30.
Okay, so it's not crazy.
Nippon Ichi games tend to be up there, and they don't tend to go on sale often, but sometimes they do, so keep an eye on it.
Okay. Perfect. Well, that's great. Yeah. So look, I think listeners, this last week, as you would know, we probably had the biggest gaming Friday release that you're going to have with Call of Duty Modern Warfare, The Outer Worlds, The Medieval Remake. It's great to see that these three games didn't affect anyone on the panel today in any way. Unfortunately, I'll throw a little love to Call of Duty Modern Warfare because I have played the first five chapter or missions or whatever. So obviously, you know, if you're under a rock, this is the single player version, Mindy. We don't, there is no multiplayer trophy requirements. Well, none in the platinum anyway. Some special ops and things like that. But look, if you've been waiting for a Radicod, this is the Radalaker game of the week, the Radicod or Call of Duty, because the trophy list is exceptionally easy with the exception of the veteran playthrough, which, you know, apparently is not that bad either. The rest of the trophies are really, really easy. So you can sort of, you know, it has obviously has chapter select like all the others. You can just go through and play, or you can do it at the same time because it's also non-evasive. There's some fantastic guides up that show you, you know, how to do it as you're going along. But they have removed all the collectibles as well. So it's just, I don't know, it's just fun. You know, one of the things about these games, like I don't ever play the multiplayer, but I try and drop into the story, is that I'm always impressed with the sound design. It's just fantastic. The volume and just the sheer presence that creates. So look, that is definitely present. I don't find the story amazing, but I don't think I'm the target market for this game anyway. So it will be interesting to see what other people think. But you know, look, potentially if you're thinking about jumping in and out of this game, I think it can be platted in 10 hours. Which is pretty crazy for a Call of Duty game. So you keep that in mind. Can I ask, Zach, because I think this game interests you, the Outer Worlds, is this something you're thinking about?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, God, yes. So I actually had to hold off on getting it just because I was getting, my wife's birthday was very recent. So I took the money I was going to get for Outer Worlds and I just instead like pre-ordered Luigi's Mansion 3 for her. But you know.
Do what, sweetie?
Yes, I know I'm the best, but thank you, sweetheart. So, you know, I'm getting my paycheck like this Thursday or something like that. But anyway, so The Outer Worlds, though, I've been watching these review videos for it, and it looks like exactly what someone who's going through, like, Fallout withdrawal needs. Just watching the sheer gameplay alone, I'm incredibly excited. You know, this week, again, I'm getting my paycheck on, like, Thursday. So I'll be hopping all the way over to Walmart, getting my $10 cheaper copy of Outer Worlds, and then I'll probably disappear for eternity. I don't know yet. So, but it looks great.
Yeah, it does have that that Fallout vibe to it. Yeah. So listeners, if you do play on both systems and you do have the Xbox, of course, this game is being given away, well, free in brackets with the Game Pass or whatever. So if you're paying for Game Pass, you can actually just experience this game there. Or, you know, alternatively, if you're interested in the trophies, which look difficult, you could play it on PlayStation. But I myself have literally loaded it up. I looked at the character creation and I thought, not today, my friend, not today. Because Zach, don't you? You know it's going to suck you in. So,
are you one of those people that gets stuck at the character creator for like 5 hours? Or,
well, it's a very elaborate character creator too, as well. So, yes, it is, and it talks to you as well. So you make a decision, and it's like, oh, are you sure? Or that's a good idea. And so you're like, I don't know now.
That's giving me anxiety just thinking about it.
That's right. And I thought, yeah, there's only so many games you can balance at one time. So I'm gonna hold off onto that for a week or so. But that does look like fun. And then, look, I don't know. What else? Oh, there's one other one I'll throw out there, because we mentioned it briefly in the drop last week, this Street Outlaws The List. And, you know, I was potentially wary of it. Having played it, having platted it. So that gives you some idea of how long it probably is listening.
Sorry, what?
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's, if you're, you know, look, I really enjoyed it, but you have to preface that I do enjoy racing games. And this is also a drag racing game. So if you don't like that type of racing, then you're definitely not going to like this game. It does have some track racing, like time trials type things, and also some demolition events where you sort of, you know, hit the barriers or whatever. But the prominent reason for the game, it's all building up to these drag races or whatever, where you take out, you know, the bosses, I suppose. And you beat them. It's for a budget title. Unfortunately, it's a budget title at a full price game, so you have to consider that as well. But for that, and it is a budget title. I mean, the graphics are not fantastic, but it has a very addictive loop. It plays with a just sort of an open map, if you like, and events come up. So you have to do sort of 5 events, and then you unlock a race night, which is the boss. You move through 3 sort of episodes of that, but the game really does bog down in the 3rd episode, because that's when the whole list of that you're trying to get on, the whole list of races becomes available. And it sort of works that you take one on. I think there's 10 of them. You take one on in a three race challenge or whatever. If you win, you move up one position on the list. If you lose, you move down a position. But then you need to do the whole next episode, so another 5 events, which, look, it does not take that long, you know, maybe 20 minutes or so to get your next chance. So it potentially can be frustrating when you get towards the top of the list, because if you do lose, you go back a spot. And there's one track, I'd be interested if anyone does play this, there's one particular strip, it's set in the carnival, sort of like a farm carnival thing, and it's really narrow. And one of the floors, I suppose it's realism, but one of the floors is when you shift, if you shift slightly too early or too late, it will pull the cart pretty heavy to the left or right, and it can be enough to veer you off the track, which means that you fail. So that can be potentially a little frustrating. If it's getting too bad for you, then you can save manipulate there if you want. It is all on one autosave, so you'd either have to, you know, close it out quickly, upload or whatever else. But that is a possibility if it's frustrating. One of the trophies is a little bit confusing, I found. And that was to get your car to level 4,500. Yeah, 4,500 level, which you will need to beat the last sort of two to three bosses, or you'll need to be very close to that. So by naturally getting the parts, upgrading or buying them through the shop, you can get to about a 3.9, but you will have to engage with the bonus system to get up to the 4.5 or above, and that means getting sets. So my tip would be, and the set pieces are more expensive, but my tip would be, if you can, to get the set pieces that are A, B, C, or D, rather than an A piece, a B piece, a C, a piece, or D, obviously, because then it will work in any combination. You're looking at the way the shop system works also prolongs the game, because you can only buy 3 pieces per season, if you like, or 5 events. If you've had enough of the game after 6 or 7 hours like me, you can always just sort of AFK every event. In fact, all the events can be AFK. They're only a minute or a minute and a half, except for the sprint ones, which are the quickest. So look, I know I've gone on a bit about that game, but I quite enjoyed it, which was a surprise, because I know last week I was a little bit maybe potentially negative about the game. The other great thing is it has no multiplayer trophies. So look, overall an easy plat and very enjoyable if you like those type of games. So look, I think that's
it. Nope.
What else?
I want to talk about something else.
Okay. Yes.
East Jade.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, yes. So
you said it was the game we talked about on the drop, and I thought you were going to talk about Eastshade, but then you pulled a fast one on me.
Sorry. So Eastshade, yeah, I forgot about that game. So this game, it's beautiful game. Very, very beautiful from an indie studio. Quite amazing. The music is fantastic as well. Ton of harp, Velvet. This is what I love about these indie games. I know, Velvet, I know you have, you know, interaction with these people. More harp. That is what I need. More harp. But anyway, we'll get back to the game. So
more cowbell.
That's right. Cowbell. Oh, could you imagine? Look, it could happen. I need to play more. But one of the detractions of this game, and I didn't realize when I bought it, is that it has a glitch, a game breaking, I suppose, bug, in that after 3 hours, you can't save anymore. And the game is about 20 plus hours. So, you know, listeners, as you know, that probably doesn't concern me, because how often am I going to get past 3 hours anyway? But, you know, for those that do, it's a concern. My understanding is that was never fixed on the Steam version, but apparently they patched it. I saw last night there was a patch. I don't know if that patch fixes it or not, but that might be something just to check with somebody who has played more than 3 hours, because I don't know what would happen if you can't save. I suppose you just have to leave it as the game on your console until you finish it, which would be...
They tweeted earlier today that a patch has fixed it, according to this, at least, on PSN.
Oh, perfect.
Profiles.
So, you know, that seemed to be the only flaw. Look, it's an interesting game. It is a walking simulator, Mindy. I think that's how I'm going to start.
Yeah, well, last week, I honestly don't remember if we cut this bit out, because I couldn't remember the name of the game. I speculated it might have been a first-person adventure / walking sim. And I said it was really gorgeous, and it reminded me of this game that I couldn't remember the name of. And I've since remembered the game is called Leaving Lindau.
Oh, yes.
Which is a very short PS4 game. And it is the same company, so boom!
I didn't...
Leaving Lindau was like, I think it was more or less a demo for this game.
The funny thing is with this game, when I started it, like, the very beginning, it's you're in a ship, sort of, you know, because you're traveling to this place or whatever, or you get shipwrecked. But it doesn't look that great then. But when you get to the island, the first thing I thought was a Myst game, actually. It's really beautiful. It's obviously not puzzleistic like the Myst games or whatever. Puzzleistic, you like that word, listeners? So it does, like, the graphics definitely have that feel to it. It's very, very high production. It's a little bit weird for me, because you play as a monkey person. And look, I have nothing against monkey people. I love the monkey people. It's fantastic. But the thing that makes me unnerved is that the monkey people, very well dressed, very well spoken, very well, like, you know, traditional formal English. And it's just, it's a little much for me. You know, I've played many, many games, but I've never come across this feature before. And there's a lot of them as well. There's a lot of interaction. So.
Have you never seen Planet of the Apes?
No. See, I like Planet of the Apes. They were well spoken, but they were apes. They didn't dress above their station, Mindy. These apes are pretending. They're too much. They're high class apes, which, you know, it's a highbrow game, I suppose. But look, you know, that aside,
I don't know, man. That sounds like a you problem.
Well, look, it could be, but I'm the one playing the game, so that's all that really matters.
Is CJ an apist? Find out now.
Yeah, but look, if you can, you know, separate, you know, your hate for apes or whatever, or high class apes, elitist apes, I suppose you could call them. You know, it is good. And now that bug's fixed, I will play more Mindy, because that was primarily the reason that I stopped. But we'll talk about that. Well, it was one of the reasons. It's a good enough reason. We'll go with that. And yeah, we'll talk about that more in the future. Definitely, it's one that you might play as well, I imagine. So.
Oh, I'm sure. I definitely will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know, I have backlog. I have eternal backlog. Yeah. So
don't we all?
That's a
question
good.
Of when I'm going to slide it into the backlog there.
So can we pass muster? Can we move on from my trophy list? Is it safe?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Yes. So look, let's move. You know, we're rambling along, listeners, but we're not going to have a topic today. It's just a free conversation. It's kind of fun, actually. The reins are off. We can do whatever, but we should do new releases. Now, Zach.
Yes.
Would you like to start us off? I believe you've got one here.
Oh, man. So, like, I am so pumped for this game. This is actually the first game I have digitally pre-ordered ever, and it is After Party, and made by the people that made, and I'm totally blanking on the name of their last game right now as I'm talking about it, because that's naturally how conversation works. Night School Studio. All right. And what was the name of the last game, though?
Oh, Oxenfree.
Oxenfree. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So it's made by Night School Studio, the people who made Oxenfree. And I have a kind of a weird history with their last game because I enjoyed Oxenfree greatly, and I absolutely hated getting the platinum for it. And it took literally making a podcast and listening to my podcast co-host going, "Oh yeah, I got the platinum for it," to activate some kind of competitive spark in me going, "That son of a bitch. Well, fine, I'll get it too." So I went back and I played Oxenfree all the way through and ended up loving the game. But yeah, so this game, After Party, you know, you and your friend, I think your names are Milo and, oh shoot, Lola, I believe.
Otis.
Otis, my bad.
No, I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a movie about a cat.
Wait,
and a pug.
Did you say that too, sweetie? Oh, my wife said that too in the background. I didn't even hear her. Oh, wait. Oh, God. Milo Notice. How could I forget that? Oh, man.
There you go.
Cornerstone of American cinema.
That was a long one.
Milo Notice.
God dang.
Yeah.
He heard on this podcast, yeah. I wanted divorce right
what?
Now.
What? Over
how
Milo
do you
Notice?
I not know that movie.
My bad, sweetheart. I love
oh,
you.
No, I wanted to.
Okay.
Wow, this is,
okay,
listeners,
tomorrow.
This is the first divorce we've had on Push to Plat. This is an exciting trend.
Oh,
here.
Oh, gosh.
So. We will
now we're just live streaming divorce proceedings.
In 6 months, we'll catch up with Zach and his ex-wife.
Oh my. All right. But anyway, so it's I think it's Milo and Lola. I don't remember. Yeah, it's Milo and Lola. I'm looking at it right now. But you both die. You're both best friends and you die and you end up in hell. And you basically don't know that you're dead for a little while. And then, of course, it dawns on you that you're in hell. And so the only way to get out of hell is supposedly to outdrink the devil in a drinking contest. And so you go on this like huge bender all night. You play like beer pong and you dance. And I think there's karaoke and stuff like that. And it looks fantastic. And on top of that, it looks like a radical improvement from Oxenfree, because Oxenfree is visually, you know, very beautiful, but it was also kind of static minus your own characters. The backgrounds didn't really move. There was only like water and maybe like some shaking boats or wind in the trees, that kind of thing. But looking at the footage from this, there's like, you know, demons going down neon lit streets and people dancing in the background. There's all sorts of dead people with like, you know, chunks missing out of them or arrows in their head or something like that. So it looks like they've taken what worked with Oxenfree and essentially, you know, made it infinitely better. So I'm just, you know, and on top of that, the trophy list looks a lot of fun. You had to try like 20 different drinks and there's multiple different endings to it and all that good stuff. So it looks like a fun time. I'm excited. I want to go on a bender in hell. And thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
This was on the, what was it called? The state of play, the last state of play, right?
I think so. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it just looks like a fun time. And, you know, anytime I'm finding myself attracted to indie titles. And I know that's like a broad scope term at this point, because, you know, some indie studios are much larger than others, but it seems like indie games are coming out with just, you know, amazing concepts. And for me, you know, a drinking contest in hell, that just immediately grabs my attention over your basic looter shooter game or anything like that.
Yeah. You kind of, I've said this before in this podcast, you kind of have to, because if you're going just pure AAA, what you're getting is basically the same three games reskinned, like the same,
right?
You know, it's like two or three genres and it's just the same thing over and over again, just reskinned. Whereas indies, right. Yeah, they'll take the chances with new IPs, well, because they have to, but they take chances. Sometimes they work really well, and sometimes they don't work, and sometimes they really don't work, but...
God, yeah, no, that reminds me. There was a game called Chroma Squad, which I, as a, you know, martial arts slash super, like, Sentai Power Rangers fanboy, was super excited for, because the concept was, like, make your own Power Ranger squad and then save the world, and I was like, oh, dope. And it became like this bug-ridden, meme-fueled, just not-so-great experience, and I think it's like one of my rarest plats ever because other people realized it wasn't that great. I was so disappointed. But yeah, no, indie games are great, and the fact that they can just go. They can try any kind of idea and go for it, and they're not restricted by, you know, what investors want or what a certain publisher wants or anything like that, and I think that's the beauty of it.
Well, now that the love fest is over, this game really just looks like an Australian Saturday night simulator. So I don't understand. But anyway.
Is this what Australia's like?
Pretty much outdrinks Satan. Well, it's not only Saturday night, okay. I can tell you. But anyway.
Okay, my grandparents have been. They didn't mention that part.
Yes, we keep that secret close. Not.
Ah, gotcha.
Mindy, is there something here for you this week?
Yes. So first thing I'm going to drop from the drop Close to the Sun.
Oh, ouch! Ouch, that one hurt. Sorry. Carry on.
Was that a lame joke about the sun, or did you want to do that?
No, that was the drop from the drop.
Jesus Christ. Zach, do you want to co-host two podcasts? There's going to be an opening on this one very shortly.
Is there?
Oh, no, we're going to have to find someone who can edit, Zach.
Oh, I mean, I can. I just, you know, I just might die in the process.
Yeah. Look, we joke aside, but if Mindy were to leave this podcast, we know it wouldn't affect the amount of work she has to do each week either way.
Well, that is true, but who said I was the one who would be leaving?
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true. Look, the devil
Mom, Dad,
might
don't fight. Mom, Dad, don't fight.
The devil might get me.
I couldn't Australian outdrink the devil.
Well, I think there's a high possibility. There'd definitely be a sequel, I can tell you.
The after party?
Yes, that's right. That's right. They'll need a Sony peripheral for that, the stubby, the beer can. That'd be perfect. But it'll be like the, could you imagine? It'll be like the Move controller. You have to just keep moving your elbow up to your mouth, back and down, back down, back down. Anyway, look, we're getting sidetracked, I know.
Close to the Sun. It's 1897. An unbound utopia for scientific research born of Nikola Tesla's vision. Deep in the international waters, the Helios stands still. Journalist Rose Archer steps aboard in search of her sister Ada, quickly discovered not as all as it seems. The stench of rotting flesh lingers in the air. Silence. A single word is painted across the entrance. Quarantine. So this is basically indie Bioshock.
Mm. Oh, this is not an Art Monday game or a point and click? Or
no.
Oh, okay.
No. No, this is actually, it's a horror adventure game. Mm-hmm. It released probably about 5 or 6 months ago on PC, and so now it's gotten ported. It was developed by Storm in a Teacup. These are the guys who did Nero, Nothing Ever Remains Obscure.
Oh, yes, yeah.
If you're a kind of a higher level trophy hunter, you probably have this game on your card, because it's a fairly easy platinum, kind of a first-person puzzler. Mm. And it seems like that's what this is, too, just with a horror twist. Not a lot of combat or anything, but it looks a lot like Bioshock.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig that look.
I do. No, I do. I'm definitely going to look into this a little more, because I did not know it was getting ported until just now. You know, it's my jam, man. It's like alternate histories right around turn of the century. Nikola Tesla beat Thomas Edison, as should have happened, because they don't teach you that in school, at least not in this country. You have to learn that when you're an adult and realize just how awful Thomas Edison was.
And do you have another one? Or
I do, but we usually round table these things. You shirking responsibility?
No, not at all. I'm just, look, I don't know. I'll go, look, there's a racing game. Anti-Gravator. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You know, the name will probably take you longer than the plot, perhaps. Is a sleek new tale on the anti-gravity racing genre. So it's like a Wipeout. Interesting. Use traps, power-ups, and boosts to overtake your opponents and dominate the track in single-player or multiplayer mode. So look, if you've played any of these anti-gravity racing games, you will know that either the controls will be dreadful and it'll be really difficult to dominate anyone, or they will not be and it will be too easy. So look, there's usually no middle ground, but you know, maybe this is the middle ground. With no speed limit holding you back, that word again delivers the fastest racing experience of the future. So there you go. I do not endorse or disendorse this game. I think that's a game you'll have to decide for yourself, listeners.
Disendorse?
Zach, disendorse.
Isn't that a Hogwarts house?
But then I'll re-endorse.
It's the fifth one that never got around. They have the broom closet. Oh God! It's those guys from Disendorse. Their mascot is the purple porcupine. Oh shit!
We shouldn't joke because everybody knows that sorting hat goes on one kid. There's always one kid, and the hat's like, oh shit! What are we gonna do?
This guy.
What are we gonna do? Everybody's special.
You throw him in Disendorse. It's the broom closet house.
You know, this reminds me of, there's probably, Mindy, we talked about D-makes recently, probably somewhere in China, there's a D-make of Harry Potter that has Disendorse in it. Could you imagine? They don't have robes or whatever. It's just they couldn't afford that. You know, there's no pyrotechnics. They're just sort of, you know, normal
bath robes,
or whatever.
Fuzzy bathrobes.
Yeah. Good. Now, Zach, was there any other games there that interest you?
I think Mindy was also wanting to talk about this one. I may be mistaken, but Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion, this game.
No, go for it. I talked about it last week a bit.
Oh, did you?
But like in terms of, just in terms of this should not be considered a spam game. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
And that's basically, you know, mine as well. Like it's a surprisingly hard game, despite its very cute appearance. And the one thing that I wanted to really talk about is the fact that they're making this into like a optional VR mode as well. You know, I played Resident Evil 7 in VR and I wasn't really like scared. I had some jump scare, you know, obviously because of like audio and things like that, right? But this is a game that might legitimately cause me to have a panic attack or a heart attack playing VR. Because it's so like the jump scares are so loud when you do it. So I couldn't imagine playing this game in VR, but I played this game on Steam and it was pretty fun. It's very difficult. And if it does have a platinum, I would be surprised if the platinum rate was high, if a lot of people got the platinum for this game, unless there's some kind of workaround I'm not aware of.
No, because it's, as I recall, it's the rooms are randomly generated, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So it's not like you could just follow a video guide and get through.
Yep.
So tack that on with that run through the whole game without saving trophy, and no, this will not be a high percentage platinum at all. But it's such a cute, it's such a great name to say, Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion.
Yeah, it is adorable. I dig it.
And Mindy, was there another one, or was that
Yeah, I want to talk some Disney.
Oh yes.
The Aladdin and Lion King double feature game is supposed to come out this week. So I will buy that before it gets delisted.
This is a remake, isn't it? This is not a new game, though, is it? Or is
no,
it?
It's a port. It's not a remake. It's a port.
Right, port. Okay.
Like, you know, do you remember when they did the Disney Afternoon Collection?
Yes. Yep.
And they ported like Rescue Rangers and Tailspin and Darkwing Duck. It's like that. They're porting the Aladdin and the Lion King games. And the fact that they have said that there are multiple game versions makes me wonder if they're doing the SNES and the Genesis version of each game in this game.
I think they are. I think you're correct, yes.
Because I mentioned a while back that when you talk about the console wars and you talk about specifically the Genesis versus the Super Nintendo, one of the big linchpin games in that debate is Aladdin. Because they're two really different games. When you think they wouldn't be, it's a movie tie-in game. You would think they'd just do the same, you know, and that's generally what they would do, is they'd do the same game and it would run on both systems. But Aladdin was very, very different on the systems. On SNES, it was more of a platformer and you had apples, you threw apples. And on the Genesis, there was some platforming, but there was more fighting and Aladdin had a sword. It's just an interesting thing to think about. Of all the games to debate, you know, which is the better system, you get this licensed cartoon game, you know, in the middle of this argument. I think it's interesting. Lion King, I don't remember. I feel like there wasn't a huge amount of difference between the two systems. I could be dead wrong on that, because I only ever had Lion King on the Super Nintendo.
I remember sucking at it as a child.
It's hard.
It's hard mostly because this one level, and it's I just can't wait to be king.
Yeah.
Because you have to navigate this like maze, because they're like monkeys hanging from trees, and sometimes you can roar and make a monkey switch directions. And so you have to set the monkeys up across like three or four screens so that when Simba is like picked up and thrown by a monkey, that it makes its way across the four screens, across this like river or swamp or something. So it's a surprising thing that they would expect children to keep this in, like, play this kind of three-dimensional chess, basically, to keep that kind of mental map of here's what these monkeys are going to do. If it was on the same screen, okay. But it is three or four screens that you have to keep track of what monkeys are going where and, you know, which monkey the previous monkey is going to throw to, you know. So as a kid, that was very frustrating.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, that's interesting. And I mean, you made a joke at the start about it being delisted, but I mean, you know, that isn't really a joke, is it? I mean, it's not going to be delisted in the first couple of weeks, but, you know, in time.
No, whenever you get a licensed game, like a, especially like a cartoon licensed game, snap it up, you know, because like Simpsons, Deadpool got delisted twice, right?
Mm. Yep. Spider-Man, Shattered Dimensions, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Is Disney Afternoon Collection still up? Because that would surprise me.
I believe it still is. Yes, I think so. On that
one. Really?
Yes. Or maybe only if you've already bought it. I'm not sure.
But then, like, what was the other Disney one that was up? Mickey Castle.
Oh, Epic Mickey, yeah.
No. Castle of Illusion. That one got delisted.
Does happen. It happens a lot, actually, with these games. Or they just become incredibly rare to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Afternoon Collection is still available.
Really?
Yep.
That surprises me. It feels like that's much more of a complex license to figure out than Castle of Illusion.
There's a bunch on here, man. I was surprised. Even Epic Mickey 2 is still available for digital. I didn't know that.
I don't know why you would, but okay.
Oh, ouch.
I didn't say I would. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, you guys are already judging me on how I spend my time.
Whoa, anyway, he's getting used to how it works. He's throwing the zingers back now. Excellent, excellent. So look, listeners, my pick of the week after, you know, I butchered the racing game, I didn't realize this was coming out this week. This has been shown, I want to say at E3, but it was definitely shown, if not at the State of Play, possibly the State of Play before that. The second one, but the Spirit of the North game. So this is the game based on Nordic folklore set in Iceland or whatever else. It says here that the game is unique in that it is purposefully has no dialogue or narrative. It must be a walking simulator with a wolf. Players must breathe in the surroundings to solve various environmental puzzles and postulate the meaning of ancient civilization left in ruin. So if for no other reason, you should buy this game because it has the word postulate in the description, which is fantastic. I believe, you know, but that game, no, jokes aside, that game is supposed to be a treat. So that could be something to look out for as well. It does look very, very nice graphically. So that comes out on the 1st of November. So look, unless there's any more games that people want to take a stab at, why don't we move across to the spam of the week?
Did we have a question this week? I just realized we never.
I think it might hold the question. If that's okay.
Okay.
Until, yeah. And we'll, you know, because we're having a good time talking games here. It's very natural. So why don't we move to spam? So Zach here, just in case I know when Dylan was on, he asked us, you know, what we define as spam game. So, you know, I know,
yeah.
No, not everybody knows, but, or whatever else. We're just pulling games, you know, we're just speculating obviously on games that we think are short. So, you know, by all means, throw out whatever you think. We don't hold anyone accountable here. If the game turns out to be 100 hours, so be it. That's buyer beware, I suppose. Mindy, I don't know. Do you have the list up? Is there anything that interests you here this week?
Yeah, just hit while we were playing. And this was also on the drop. I'm guessing, but I'm not 100% sure, that this is the new Rat game.
Hmm.
Milo's and Kilo.
Yes, it definitely looks like it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a little boy and his dog. And it's a little 8-bit pixelated, probably a platformer. Ooh, maybe not. Earn an S rank in every level.
Yeah, I'm looking at these trophies.
Ooh.
Ooh,
maybe I take back my
KO'd every baddie in a level.
My rattle like a rat game of the week. But there's already like three stacks up. How is it not a rattle like a game?
The great thing with these platformers are they're either super easy rat style or they're incredibly difficult. There's almost no middle ground in these games.
Well, there's like three stacks up. It's 8-bit and it's on the Vita. And there's a ton of silver and gold trophies. How is that not a Rattalaika game, right?
There are other port houses, yes. Who knows?
But then it looks like you have to play the whole game. You have to S rank every level. There's time attack mode, but it looks like you don't have to do all of them in time attack. I don't know. Oh, this is a mystery game. I'm a little intrigued by this.
Zach, is there something you want to throw out there?
This one definitely looks like one. I don't know if you all talked about it or not. Super Boxland D-Make.
Mm. A classic in the D-Make. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Trilogy. Asian stack.
Yeah. I mean, this one just looks like it. It's, you know, do two or three things here. Complete a level using both characters and then just use, what was it, like complete 40 levels and use rewind magic. It's all gold trophies. So,
yeah.
Probably, if I had
to guess.
It's
actually a fun little puzzle.
Is it? Oh, okay.
It's not dreadful. Yeah, I mean, to do once.
Okay.
Once is quite fun.
Sorry, I'm just looking at like what's been recently released. Again, I haven't played that much Rat Plat or anything like that recently. So
I'll throw out while you're having a look. So we've got this next-gen sandbox. The EU stack is coming out. If you remember, listeners, a few weeks ago, the NA stack came out. This is a 30-minute plat, I believe. There's some fantastic guides, some fantastic video guides and text guides available. It basically just, plays as a command administrator panel style game where you just drop the things in, the levels you need and stuff. So it's very quick. The price is an outrageous $40 on the Australian store, which is substantially more than the NA release was. So, treat that as you will, listeners. And then Moen and Throwen, a 30-minute plat that I believe came out some time ago, but the list has finally come out, potentially a mobile-style game there. And then the only other one I'll throw out while we're looking is this Interfectorium game, which is only 100% game, but about a 30-minute game. It actually looks quite enjoyable as well, a narrative story-based game as well. So, but 30 minutes with a guide, potentially a little bit longer. Yeah, I don't know. Has that given anyone else time to? Is anything else anyone wants to throw out?
Have we mentioned? I'm sure we mentioned Deep Space Rush last week, didn't we?
Yes, that was the rat game for last week. Yeah,
that was the rat game of last week.
Very easy, very straightforward. No guide required.
I want to mention, because I was obsessed with this game last week, Horror Stories actually came out. There's stacks. There's actually stacks of this game. I don't know what the region stacks are. This game is basically Hotline Miami, but not good.
Oh, no.
I
just platted that recently, so that's, ugh.
You're just, again, it's in generic haunted house. I won't say it all looks like stock assets, but it kind of does. Potential spam hindered by the fact that there is some RNG involved based on, the level that spawns for you, but could potentially be a quick 100% for you. Not a platinum, but 100%.
Perfect. I noticed there we also have Cool Paint VR Deluxe Edition, two more stacks coming. So that's interesting. That's been a while since those stacks have come, which is, it's great. That's a 15-minute plat, potentially less if you know how to manipulate the couple of brushstroke trophies there that are all represented in a video guide. And then I have a little special, a little something dirty here for you, Mindy. A little something trophy whoring, if you like. So the yoga game. I think I referenced this game last week. I thought, it's about time we had a good fitness game on the PS4 and the yoga game. And I bought it with all the good intentions of playing it legitimate. Of course. And it turns out that while it won't be a short plat, the game, it's one of these autoplay games that will actually play itself if you so wish. So you can basically just leave it running and every 30 minutes or so restart the program and it will plat itself.
Oh my Lord.
We are finally moving listeners to the stage where you do not have to be involved at all in your gaming or trophy hunting experience. So if that interests you, that is something to check out. And I think it's reasonably-ish price, maybe 20-ish or somewhere in that vicinity. Look, that's a lot of spam. A lot. I think we can rest assured in, knowing that you'll get, your 30 plats this week, listeners, without a challenge at all, without even, breaking through the time it would take to create a character in the Outer Worlds, I think. But look, let's move across very quickly to the Push to Plat Platinum Club for this week. And we have a couple of shout outs. Of course, Mindy it's not a plat, Mindy, but I'm going to acknowledge it. You were very proud to get that extra trophy, as you told us today in... What was it for? It was just doing one extra puzzle, wasn't it? That's all you had to do.
Yeah, and where the beast make honey.
Yeah, that's all. So congratulations.
It's so embarrassing because now it says that I have a 6-month completion time for that platinum.
That is what it is. To the real Apex, thank you, sir, for joining us. Plat number 34, The Last of Us. And he says, I don't even need to describe how this game is a masterpiece. I finished it around 8 times and decided to get the plat. My favorite platinum besides Red Dead Redemption 2. Can't wait for part 2. So congratulations. And it looks like he's 100% of that as well with the photo. So well done, sir. What a fantastic game. Then flying through... Where are we? Oh, Dat One Seagull, plat 204, One Night Stand, the NA stack. Then Eastie, plat 577, Borderlands 3. He's on fire at the moment, isn't he? Because he did that Lair game the other week. Well done, sir.
EC's a machine, man. Like he'll get some AAA stuff and he'll platinum it in like a week or two and just keep machine gunning him.
Yeah.
He's done Mine Levin a couple of times. Like he's
woof.
He's serious.
He's a machine. Woof. Yeah. Like by choice. Like he did it once. He said, you know what? I'm going to do it again.
Maybe Eastie, we could invite you on as a guest sometime and we could have a battle of the wits, a skilled gamer versus an unskilled gamer. That would be a fantastic conversation, I think. So yes. Could you imagine? I probably couldn't even get the disc into the machine for that game. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Then Redbeard Rick, not a platinum as well, sir. I don't know if you can read the title, Push to Platinum Club. But anyway, we'll let it go for this week. And it says he 100%ed the Spider-Man DLC, which, well, actually, you know, that's a big achievement too. Because that's, I don't know, have you done that, Zach? That's a bit of a grind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. God, yes. Have you, like, you haven't seen the wall in the office, as Dylan calls it, the spider wall. I have... No, in the office that we record, I have a whole wall dedicated to Spider-Man. So, God, yes, when there was a PS4 Spider-Man game with a platinum and all the DLC trophies, that was my life.
Still, you'd have to admit, even as a fan, the number of street crimes was substantial in the DLC.
You know, it got a little bit better moving forward, at least for me, because like in the main game, it was a little too much. But then in the DLC, for some reason, I seem to breeze through it a little bit quicker.
Yeah, well, look, that's fine. And then, look, you know, just to give everybody hope, you know, for a little boy or a little girl, you know, and you one day want to grow up to be a massive trophy whore and, you know, more power to you, anyone with a dream and, you know, 99 spam plats can achieve it. I truly managed to hit 1,000 completed games. That's an amazing effort for a non-completionist. I think it's kind of ironic, really. So look there with 999 spam titles, and I'd like to thank Rattalika at this point for providing 740 of those games. That was fantastic. And I look forward to a future collaboration with you, you wonderful porthouses out there of the 5-minute plat. So
hey, credit where credit is due. Maybe 100 of those go to sometimes you.
No, some of those are hard, so I'd probably give them 50. you know, at best, but I like your thinking there as well. Yeah. So look, I don't know. I think we've covered a lot today. It was a nice natural conversation. I'd like to thank Zach for joining us. It's been great to have you on as a guest. Yeah. It's always great to have other podcasters on because they just naturally talk. It's very easy. So I really do appreciate that. If we're
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, of course. If we're trying to find the podcast or yourself as well as Dylan, where can we find you? Where are you guys?
Oh man, that is everywhere. We're on iTunes and Google Play and SoundCloud and what's the other one? Our sometimes co-host, sometimes guest Joe plays like a podcast pocket or something like that. We always give him hell for using like the worst podcast player ever. But we're just everywhere. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're just at Platcast there on Twitter. And if you want to shoot us an email, it's platcastpodcast@gmail.com. And we have a Discord as well. So, you know, come goof off with us, talk about trophies, talk about life, that kind of thing.
And it's a very enjoyable Discord as well, listeners. So I would encourage you, you know, to check that out if it does interest you. And Mindy, where can we find you?
Twitter at The Mind is a City. I also have a coffee page, ko-fi.com/TheMindIsACity. If you have used my walkthroughs to get platinums and you want to support my work, leave me a little tip. It just helps me buy games to write walkthroughs for because I don't get a lot of dev codes because I don't make video guides, which is a bummer.
Look, listeners, if you're trying to find the show, we're everywhere, we're anywhere. You know, open the door, we're probably there. That's the state of play with obnoxious people. They're everywhere, you know, so you can't escape us. But look, if you wanted to help us by, you know, converting other people, you could tell them, I suppose. That would be a lovely thing to do, and it costs nothing. So please do that. Or, of course, if you don't want to talk to people, which I understand, then you can leave us a comment on Twitter at push2plat. You can send us an email at push2plat@gmail.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes if you so wish. If it's a positive review, that's even better. But if it's not, look, still leave it. You know, everyone has an opinion. It's important you voice yours for sure. And then the Discord, which I don't know, we'll put the link in the show notes. Does that sound good, Mindy? It's very chilled, very relaxed Discord. So, you know, if that interests you and you want to reach out and say hi,
that
please.
Sounds good.
Please do. So, look, I think that's us done, listeners. As I said, we will be trying to hit you with a double show this week. So I apologize in advance. Prepare yourself if you do wish to take the journey twice with us. I promise we'll even change some of the content between episodes, perhaps. You'll have to listen to see, I suppose. So look, until next time.
You should just post this episode twice.
Yes. Until yeah, totally. Until next time, thank you, listeners. It's been a privilege to serve you. And look, how can you not be enjoying the games at the moment? They are fantastic. Thank you so much, Zach, for joining us. It's been wonderful. And Mindy, as always, thank you for putting up with the garbage that is CJ.
Bye.
Thank you all.